97.9 The Hill, WCHL, and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus, dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, UNC Journalism Professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, ESPN, the worldwide leader in sports. Our guest, Patrick Ruby, an award-winning writer whose work has appeared in the Washington Post, ESPN the Magazine, USA Today, Playboy. Of course, people who buy Playboy buy it for the articles. Of course, you know that, Patrick.
And that's my byline bucket list. I'm so proud of getting an article in the actual magazine.
And he's also the winner of the 2016 Associated Press Sports Editors Explanatory Writing Award. So, ESPN, the worldwide leader in sports, appears to have become the worldwide bleeder of subscribers. What's going on?
Well, what's going on is really a larger trend that you see across broadcast media, cable, and traditional networks, which is there are fewer viewers. And the audience that you have is fragmenting. Now, for a long time, sports was kind of the bulwark against that in a way. You know, the rate of decline for sports viewership was less than it was for other types of programming. But really what ESPN and all these networks are fighting against is our divided attention. They're really fighting against the fact that we all have smartphones now. We have tablets, and we have Facebook, and we have the internet, and we have Snapchat, and we have so many other things competing for our time and competing for our eyeballs. The best way I can illustrate this actually isn't even ESPN. If you just go and look back when we, in the very olden days, when we essentially had three broadcast networks and cable television was a thing, but it wasn't really a thing. So we're talking like the late 80s, early 90s. You look at the size of the audiences for a hit network show, and they're enormous. If you look at the size of audience today for like a hit show, for like the number one rated show, I think, on network TV, like I don't know if it would have even been in the top 10 or 20 back then. And a lot of shows now that get a big enough audience to continue would have been canceled after a few episodes back in those times. So a lot of what you're seeing is just that, you know, we have so many more things to pay attention to. We're not all as focused on television. And ESPN is feeling the brunt of that as well.
Okay. So let's look at, you know, what's at the top of the headlines today. And it would be the political stances that some folks on ESPN have taken. Jemele Hill says Trump is a white supremacist. ESPN takes Rob Lee off the telecast of the UVA football game because Robert E. Lee. What role is all that playing?
Well, you know, one other thing I want to add before we get to that is the other thing I didn't mention is also, and this is related to the phenomenon of having our attention divided, is a lot more people are, with cable TV specifically, and this is ESPN, are cutting the cord. So younger people especially are not signing up for basic cable packages or for cable TV at all, which usually includes ESPN. You know, they're getting their programming through Netflix or through Hulu or from some other internet over-the-top service, or through YouTube, whatever it is. And that also is sort of cutting into ESPN's bottom line. You know, one of the things about ESPN is because it was on basic cable, you know, it was in many, 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 many more households than households that actually really care about sports or watch sports. And now people are starting to have the option where they don't have to pay for ESPN, and so they're not. So that's another thing that's hurting their bottom line. And again, that's kind of inevitable. That's a result of technology. I don't think it ties into the second thing we're talking about, which is the perceived ideological or politically ideological bent of ESPN's programming. I'm going to say two things. First of all, I have a bit of a pro-ESPN bias. I used to work there. I still have friends that work there and former colleagues, particularly in the Outside the Lines division, and I really greatly respect a lot of the journalism they do. I've never been a huge consumer of the entertainment part of what they do, which I think is what more people are actually focused on when it comes to this idea of ESPN's too liberal or ESPN's too political. I think ESPN is somewhat suffering from the fact that we live in extremely hypercharged, politically partisan times. You know, in a way, everything's political because politics is really just the process of deciding who gets what in society. But we also live in a politically partisan time where the divides between Democrats, Republicans, the right, the left, libertarians, socialists, whatever you want to say, they seem more pronounced and they seem angrier and they seem more inflamed for a lot of different reasons. And I think ESPN is sort of caught in the middle of that. I don't know if you can say that ESPN's actual programming is all that political, but because all of us, our awareness is so heightened about politics right now, I think we fall into that thing of when you all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. You know, we're all running around with hammers thinking about partisan politics all the time, and everything starts to look like a nail. And I think in some ways, that is what the network is struggling with. The Robert Lee thing that you brought up, to me, was a pretty clear sort of overreaction, but it was definitely the kind of thing you could expect from a big media company that's out in the public eye and is increasingly worried about courting controversy or upsetting anybody. And I think in some ways, the apology they issued for Jemele Hill, who was making tweets on her Twitter account, and I think was speaking as an American citizen. I don't think she was speaking for ESPN. She wasn't saying this on ESPN broadcast.
You're always representing the company.
Well, sure. I mean, that's definitely a fair thing for companies to say. And if ESPN feels like they need to react that way, they can, for sure. But I also think that, I guess to say, to believe that people who work in the public eye suddenly aren't going to have political opinions, especially in the time we're living in, especially in this administration, I think it's probably a little naive. And maybe for some people who don't agree with the political implications of what Jemele Hill was saying, it might be a little disingenuous for them to pile on. It might not be that they're really upset that, oh, you're bringing politics into my sport. They're probably upset because it's, I don't agree with the politics you're bringing. Mm-hmm. I think we see that with Colin Kaepernick as well. A lot of the backlash, I do not really believe, comes from, oh, you know what? I just want to watch football. Why do I have to think about police brutality? I think it's because a lot of people don't think police brutality is a real problem. And that stuff gets mixed up, and it's hard to tease out. But I do think that speaks to, again, the environment and the political, the cultural, the social environment we live in right now.
Sports Focus. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking with Patrick Ruby about ESPN. Patrick, we spent most of the first block talking about the political leanings or the perceived political leanings of ESPN. And for some people, that's obviously part of the problem that ESPN is having. Those people who believe ESPN is on one side of the aisle, or some of them, are dumping ESPN, but that can't be the major problem. You already alluded to people cutting the cord, and this article today, the writer says the biggest problem is it's not enough sports. It's talking heads. People turn to ESPN to watch sports.
That's a really interesting observation. So, you know, first of all, in terms of people like stopping watching ESPN because they feel it's too political, you know, that is possible that there's a group of people out there doing that, but I've seen absolutely no data to support that. Again, to say that, well, you know, I think they've been more political lately and they're losing viewers, ergo, those two things must be related. You know, unless you have some sort of sophisticated polling of people's opinions and can actually match that to people who have dropped ESPN, there's really no way to say that. And like I said, I think these bigger trends are a much bigger reason as to why ESPN has been losing viewers. It's like I said, it's basically across the board in most television.
Okay, so whatever those talking heads are saying, whether it's political or not, this writer's point is that there's too much talk. I want to watch sports.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, there's only so many sports that you can program. There's only so many television rights you can buy to so many games. ESPN has the vast majority of televised sports, by the way. They have almost everything significant locked up. Everything that gets ratings, essentially, has been basically locked up by ESPN. They spend an awful lot of money, billions and billions of dollars, to show that kind of stuff. But ESPN also has multiple channels. And those multiple channels have to be filled 24 hours a day with programming. Talk programming is very, very cheap compared to those billions of dollars of rights fees. You know, we look at some of the salaries that the people on TV make, and you might think it's pretty expensive to do that, but it's not that expensive to put people in a studio and have them chat. It's a lot cheaper than producing a reality show, which in itself is also a lot cheaper than producing a scripted drama. And if we remember back in the early 2000s, ESPN got into like scripted dramas. They made Playmakers for a year. They were making scripted movies like the Bobby Knight movie. You know, they kind of got out of that business, I think partially because it was too expensive. There wasn't a good bang for the buck there. And I do think that, yeah, some people might not be tuning in or just subscribing to ESPN because there's too much talk, but ESPN probably has more sports on than it ever has. It also has more talk than it ever has because they just have more inventory to fill. And I think if you really care about games, ESPN is still the place where you're going to be able to catch most of the stuff that matters to you. Obviously, there's exceptions. You know, you can catch a lot of NFL on broadcast networks still. That is America's biggest sport. College football is somewhat, you know, distributed among ESPN, other cable channels, and network broadcasting. There's a little bit of NBA on network as well, a little bit of baseball. But for the most part, if you really are a big sports fan, it's kind of hard to go without ESPN. So I'm not sure I buy the argument that, you know what, if they just had more sports and less talk, I'd subscribe. Because if you still want sports, you have to get it.
Okay. So according to this article today, 60% of men say that they would be happy to give up ESPN, not so much because of the politics or what this writer calls the TMZ approach that he thinks ESPN has taken, but because it's so expensive compared to everything else. It's 10% of the average cable bill is ESPN.
Yes, that is an excellent point. That gets to what I was talking about with cord cutting. So the way that cable television's business model has worked forever is essentially it's a bundled model. So when I am the Walt Disney Company and I own ESPN, and I also own other channels and I own Disney channels, when I go to Comcast or I go to Time Warner or I go to DirecTV and I'm negotiating so that those television providers can have my channels offered to their customers, you know, I'm selling them these bundles of channels that I offer. So I'm saying to them, okay, you want Disney Channel or you want ESPN? Well, you've got to take ESPN 2, you got to take Disney Kids, you got to take all these other things. And each channel, I am Disney, I am charging that cable provider a certain amount per month to have that channel. ESPN has the largest fees by far of any channel. I think it's something like $6 or $7 per month.
To the cable, providers, yeah.
Right, and not just ESPN. You add an ESPN 2 and ESPN Classic and whatnot, you're probably getting up to about $10 a month. So yeah, if you're getting cable TV and ESPN, the air channels are on there, it's part of your basic package, and for a long time it was, you had no real choice in the matter. That's right. A big part of your bill was going to ESPN, whether or not you ever watch sports, or maybe you just watch one or two games a month. It might not be worth it to you, but you had no choice. And that's the thing about now with the technology, you're seeing debundling. You're seeing cable, even the providers now are offering packages without ESPN, without some of these other channels that are expensive. They're targeting to the consumers more like, you know what, just pay for the thing you want, which is what we saw with music, for instance. It's the same principle with albums, right? It used to be you had to buy an album to get the songs you want. Maybe there was two or three hit songs. There was a bunch of filler. Now, if you're not pirating your music, you can just go to the iTunes store and just literally buy the songs you want. That's kind of what's happening in a broader sense with the cable industry and with channels on there. And that's definitely affecting ESPN's bottom line. And I'm not surprised to hear, you know, in that poll you mentioned, that 60% of people just say, look, this is too expensive. I think a lot of people right now are still paying for ESPN that don't even watch it and would be happy to not pay anything for it. So I think over time you will see more erosion. And it's going to be tricky for ESPN because the more erosion there is, the less people who don't watch their channel no longer pay for it, they're going to have to charge people who do watch it more. That's the only way to make up the difference there. So if you like sports, the chances are pretty good it's going to get more expensive over time to watch.
Sports Focus. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion with Patrick Ruby about ESPN and essentially the business model of ESPN. You were making the point, Patrick, that ESPN is losing subscribers, 12 million in the past 6 years, and yet is charging more for its programming. That doesn't seem to make really good fiscal sense.
Well, it depends, right? Because what we're going to find out ultimately over time is how much are televised sports and the other things that ESPN have to offer actually worth it to the people who want to watch that. You know, right now, you can make a very good argument that those people are being subsidized by everybody else who also pays for ESPN and their sports programming channels, but doesn't actually watch them. And that's changing. It's changing slowly, but it's going to change. And I think we will eventually find out, you know, one thing ESPN's doing, and but by the way, they're very smart. They're aware of this. They know what's happening. They've seen it coming for a while. There's debate over how long they've seen it coming and how seriously they took it. But there's no debate that they do know what's happening now and that they're taking it very seriously. Disney and ESPN invested into a company called BAM, which was a spinoff of Major League Baseball's Advanced Media. It's essentially an internet streaming company. They're extremely good at streaming online video, especially sports events. That's, you know, that's why baseball created this company in the first place back in the 2000s. And it turns out, you know, ESPN is going to offer, I believe later this year or early next year, an internet offering where essentially you can watch a whole bunch of ESPN programming by paying a smaller monthly fee, and you're getting it through your internet provider. You're not getting it through cable or anything like that. Now, ESPN hasn't gone whole hog and decided to move all their network programming over to that too. This is going to have different programming, but you can see how it's a test case for that. And I would not be surprised in the near to semi-distant future, so like the next 10 years, to see ESPN basically offer itself like a Netflix. So essentially you pay X dollars per month and you get ESPN over your internet connection. Now to make up, again, for lost cable subscribers, they might have to charge more for that. Now ESPN, look, ESPN is the crown jewel of Disney. They make something like $9 billion a year. And I think $6 billion of that is off of all those cable fees we talked about. I'm pretty sure that those numbers might be a year or two out of date, but it's roughly in that ballpark. If you take away all the people who pay for basic cable, who pay for ESPN, but don't actually watch it, you know, I think that knocks out, I did the calculations a couple years ago. I think it knocks out a couple billion dollars out of that, maybe $3 billion, something like that. So if ESPN wants to stay as profitable as it is, they'll have to make that up. And they'll have to make it up either by charging more to advertisers or charging more to the consumer. So it could be the case that ESPN can do fine. And in the future, they offer themselves like Netflix. And it could be that you're paying, I don't know, $20 a month for ESPN, something like that. Or it might be there's a market correction. And in the future, people are willing to pay $10 a month for ESPN or $15 a month or whatever it is, and ESPN has to cut costs the other way. And that could affect sports because you could see ESPN cutting costs in the next round of television rights negotiations with all these leagues. Maybe it turns out there's a bit of a bubble there, and maybe it turns out in the future leagues won't make quite so much from the networks bidding on them because the networks won't have as much money to bid with. That remains to be seen. But that could have a lot of knock-on effects in sports. You could see salaries go down. You could see owners and players fighting a lot harder over a shrinking pie. All sorts of things. Or you could see them looking to keep that pie the same size or grow it through ever avenues. Like in the NBA, you know, we're seeing a couple of uniform patch ads this year for the first time. You might see a lot more of that kind of stuff in sports over the next decade.
Yeah, the Warriors got, what, $60 million for wearing the patches on their jerseys? Something
that's
like
right. That might just be a start of things. We might, if, you know, 10 years from now, American sports might look, the jerseys might look a lot more like European soccer jerseys, where the Warriors logo is tiny and, you know, I don't know, Google's logo is huge, right? That could definitely be the case.
Kind of like NASCAR.
Exactly.
Right.
That, closer to home, NASCAR. Although NASCAR might be taking it even farther than European soccer jerseys do. But we may not ever get to there. I'm not sure.
All right. And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Patrick Ruby. Thanks also to producer Caroline Baxendale. And as always, thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.